Talking right now with John Niemela. He's the Copper Country Homeless Prevention Coalition Coordinator. John, welcome.
Thank you.
You have an event coming up March 3rd. What's it called?
It's a homeless planning, or homeless shelter planning meeting that our members of our Homeless Prevention Coalition are going to be coordinating, and actually I'm the main person coordinating it. We'll be meeting at the Kangas Cafe at 200 Michigan Avenue in the Judula Center, the old hospital, and we'll actually be having it in the chapel. We've got a lot of people that have expressed an interest to being there, we needed a little bit more space in the meeting room where we normally meet for our coalition meetings. So we're excited that we've got a good amount of interest to be able to start a rotating homeless shelter here in our local area.
What do you hope to accomplish in this meeting?
First thing is to really share the idea of what a rotating homeless shelter is, what it's going to take to put together a coalition of the local churches to be able to partner with a shelter, because it's actually local churches that are hosting the homeless for a week at a time. We're patterning it after the Room at the Inn in Marquette. Marquette's been in operation, I think, now probably about 8 or 10 years. And I had gotten introduced to them a number of years ago and wanted to see something like that, you know, come here to our local area. But they have a number of different churches that are partnering with them. And so they provide a homeless shelter for a week at a time from 6 in the evening until 6 in the morning. And they usually start sometime mid to late September, depending on when the weather changes, until the middle of May. They're currently offering 20 beds in their shelter. We're not sure yet what numbers that we're looking at here. I have a feeling that we'll probably be looking at maybe like about 8, starting out with like 8 beds, mm-hmm. or excuse me, about 10 beds here locally. And then we could kind of see where it goes from there. But we'll need to have a number of churches that then will participate, and then we'll put together, you know, once we get everything rolling, then we'll put together a revolving schedule that, you know, this church, you know, hosts it this week, and the next church it's the next week, and so that we have a whole schedule through that course of the winter when the shelter is open, that people will know, you know, where the which church is hosting it for the particular night.
Do you know who's involved right now, who you're starting with?
Well, because we have interest from probably about 5 or 6 different churches, and until they go back to their churches to talk about, you know, what they're planning on doing, at this point I'm not really wanting to give names until, you know, we know for sure that they're, you know, partnering with us. So, but we do have, at this point, we have about 5 or 6 churches that have expressed an interest and are planning on being at the meeting to be able to see what we're doing and to see what part that they can play. So, I mean, when Marquette got started, they only started with 4. So if we've got, you know, 6 to 8, we're already ahead of what Marquette had, you know, when they got their first year in operation. Now I think they have about 12 churches that are partnering, you know, throughout their season. So they've grown, you know, quite a bit from where they originally started.
Besides these churches, who else can take part in this planning meeting and give you some input?
Well, we're looking for anybody and everybody that has interest. In fact, I have a lady that has relocated to the area, and I'm not sure how long she's been in the area, but she's a registered nurse. And when she was living in Alaska, she actually provided medical care to people that were homeless at a homeless shelter in Alaska. So, you know, she said that she wanted to be, you know, come and see what we're doing and see what part that she can play. And, you know, providing, you know, medical care of some sort wasn't even anything that we were thinking about. But, you know, if somebody has that background and is willing to do it, you know, it just opens up more possibilities for, you know, the services that we may be able to offer.
If people feel that they want to be a part of this and they can help out, do you want them to register with you in advance?
Yeah, if they can give me a call, because Kangas Cafe is going to be providing a lunch that people will be paying for their own lunch, but to be able to know how many people are going to be there, I need to give them a count by first thing Thursday morning. So by Wednesday, 5 o'clock, I'm asking people to let me know for sure if they are wanting to come and planning on coming. And they can either give me a call at 281-2042. That's 281-2042. Or my email address is johnniemela, johnniemela, at gmail.com. And then I also have put a Facebook event posting up that if you look up under homeless shelter planning meeting, you should be able to find that for March the 3rd with the information of where it is and a little bit of information about, you know, some of the homeless statistics that we've been able to identify over the last couple of years.
Now let's look a little bit ahead into the future here, John. If everything kind of works out the way that you're hoping, paint me a picture on what this would look like, say, next year at this time. You said it was going to operate during the winter, so when it's up, you know, up and running and going good.
Well, a church will have a church host or that would be, you know, in charge of the people within the church to be able to coordinate, you know, who's going to be there. But the church will usually have about, you know, 12 to 15 people that will participate during that 12-hour period of time. They're broken down into 3-hour, 4-hour shifts, like from 6 to 10, 10 to 2, and then 2 to 6, you know, so that there's somebody from the church there, you know, during that 12 hours that is in operation. And then they usually will then register the people that are coming in. Some of them may be the same people, you know, they're, you know, day in and day out until with our coalition, you know, trying to find placement for homes for people that are homeless, because that's one of the things that will happen. We'll have somebody that will be working with them the next morning. Typically at the nighttime, it's just they're getting there for a meal and then to be able to sleep, you know, in a warm place. And then, you know, during the next day, then working with an intake counselor, you know, to be able to ask the questions of, you know, what they're needing as far as housing and things like that, and then be able to see if we can get them connected up with HUD, you know, with the resources that HUD has for people that are homeless, and to be able to try to find some placements for them. And, you know, if they need help with employment, you know, things that we can do with that. But then once the people come at 6 o'clock, then usually from 6:30 to 7:30, the church will serve them a hot dinner while they're there. And then usually you're out 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, then the lights are out, and then it's quiet time, you know, for them to be able to sleep. And it's just for adults at the program that Marquette has and that we'll have, just for adults 18 and over, and be able to provide them a safe place to sleep for the night, and then, you know, some support, you know, following to be able to help them in that regard. And then what Marquette does, they started with one of the churches that provided some space in the morning. Then from 6 to 8 in the morning, they would actually go from that hosting church to some other location. Marquette now calls it a warming center, that they have a new building that they have. And so 6 to 8 o'clock in the morning, people go, and then they'll have continental breakfast. And then they actually, at 8 o'clock, Marquette actually serves a hot breakfast to people in the community, and have people coming to the warming center that are in need of food. And so they serve a hot breakfast. And then at about 11 o'clock or 11:30, then they actually serve a hot lunch to everybody. So they're actually feeding people, you know, three times a day, the one time in the evening at the shelter, and then both the breakfast and the lunch at the warming center. So that was one of the things that I wasn't sure if we were going to need a warming center right away. But, you know, in talking with Doug Russell, who's their executive director, who's coming to the meeting to help us, you know, explain what their program is and how that they're doing it, he said it was really instrumental, because when people come in there to be able to sleep at night, they're not in a state of mind after a long day fighting the elements to then want to sit down and go through the long discussions of, you know, what their housing needs have been and things like that. So that's usually done then in the morning when they are after they have breakfast.
These churches and anybody else is going to ask, how is this going to be funded?
Well, the program is funded by people, individuals, businesses, you know, that hear what's happening and support it. You know, they had In talking with Doug, he says, you know, once they started going, they said it's been just remarkable, the support that Marquette has provided. And he says he has no doubt that, you know, the generosity that people here in the Copper Country have to help people, that we would find the same thing. He said that, you know, originally they were only serving, you know, the continental breakfast and then the hot breakfast in the morning. But they got to the point where, you know, people or businesses and things were donating, you know, so much food that they had so much food that they had that they started serving the people in the community a lunch. And they are amazed at he said they got, somebody had donated a freezer because they knew that they were needing a freezer. And he said in a week it was already packed with food that other people, you know, said, hey, we just want to help you out. In fact, he was telling me a story yesterday about a 10-year-old that was having a birthday party, and he told his mom that he didn't want gifts, but he wanted people to give something to the people that are homeless. And so the people came for the party. They brought, you know, some different things, and I'm not sure all what they had, but they brought it to the homeless shelter. They said, we don't want any recognition. He doesn't want any recognition. He just wanted to do that. And, you know, when you think of, you know, the effect that it has, you know, even on the kids in the community, that, you know, he just wanted to do something for somebody else. It just kind of breaks your heart to, you know, to see the generosity that people have.
Yeah, definitely. You mentioned that it's modeled after the room at the inn in Marquette. Do you have a name for this yet?
Well, what I've been thinking about is that over the last, you know, probably 7-8 years is Hope House. And it's kind of taken from the Bible verse in Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And, you know, that's the kind of the goal that I'm looking of, you know, a place that people can come that, you know, think that they're down and out and there's no, you know, hope for them, that they've been experiencing, you know, the struggles that they have, but to find a place that people really care about them and are there to take care of their needs, and that at the same time then, you know, coming alongside them and helping them find whatever other tools that they need to, you know, help them with their daily life, to be able to find a job, hold a job, you know, budgeting, all the different things that may go in, helping with substance abuse, because that they were saying that's one of the, you know, big problems that they find, you know, in Marquette, you know, the people that are there that are, you know, struggling with addictions, to be able to provide the services and have a place that they can call home, and that gives them some hope at the same time.
Talking with John Niemela, he is coordinator for Copper Country Homeless Prevention Coalition. John, if somebody wants to get in touch with you about Hope House, I know that you gave the number a little earlier, but in case they need it again.
It's my cell phone number is 281-2042, and my email is johnniemela, johnniemela@gmail.com.
John, thank you so much.
Thank you, Rick.